Good morning, everyone. John Huckenberry here with Farai Chidea. It seems as though it's possible, I suppose, there could be a Sarah Palin surprise. But at 10:15 this morning, it's being widely reported that Sonia Sotomayor, who's been a judge of the United States Circuit Court of Appeals since 1998, will be nominated by President Obama to replace Justice David Souter. At 10:15, that's the announcement. The nominee, Sonia Sotomayor, only being attributed to anonymous sources at this point, but it's widely reported, and Adam Liptak, indeed, is reporting it the same way that we are. He's a Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, and joins us by phone. Adam, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
So this is a combination of a very compelling personal story Sonia Sotomayor has, and also a robust constitutional vision. What does she bring to the court, in your view, Adam?
Well, first of all, she's a fairly bold pick of the available choices. She's probably the most liberal and the one with the broadest, most expansive view of the work the court can do under the Constitution. She's relatively young, 54. She's a woman, as we expected. She's Hispanic. And she will hit a lot of the buttons that the president has been talking about in terms of what he wants for a Supreme Court pick, someone who's a respected judge, but also someone who, in his words, has empathy in some sense of what ordinary people have gone through. And her own life story, which is an authentic rags-to-riches story, certainly reflects that.
Jeff, we've seen some spectacular nominations gone awry, or ones where the nominee was actually very much confirmed. I'm thinking of Clarence Thomas here, but was someone who had to walk over coals to do it, and then some of his supporters regretted it. Who is going to lead the charge against Sotomayor?
Well, it's, Jeff Sessions is the ranking Republican on the Judiciary Committee, and he's likely to be the point person on all of this. On the other hand, the president has 59 or 60 votes in the Senate, and that's going to give him a lot of wind at his back. It's also, most people would acknowledge, the president's prerogative to pick somebody. It's the consequence of winning an election, and there needs to be a pretty good case made against the nominee before there's really any significant chance of the nominee getting voted down.
Do you think the confirmation hearing will be a debate on her constitutional vision, or more about the question of is she too liberal? Do we have too many liberals? I mean, she replaces David Souter, who was widely believed to be a liberal, so her net effect on the court isn't likely to be huge.
Right. I'm not sure those two questions are all that different, her constitutional vision and whether she's too liberal. The one is kind of a code word for the other. It's a way of talking about the results the court is likely to reach. But certainly these confirmation hearings are always a moment when people focus on the court in a way they don't ordinarily focus on it.
When you take a look at this this view of the Supreme Court as a sort of rainbow coalition, which some people think is great and some people don't. You know, many people have argued that the reason Clarence Thomas is on the Supreme Court at all is precisely because he's black, and that you did see a form of affirmative action, and that the backlash against him being so small from the black community, at least at first, at least until he started making rulings, was because there was this need to have a black justice. Is there going to be a discussion of, you know, what's needed in terms of diversity on the court from perhaps a more legal framework? I mean, whether or not diversity is a goal that really should be used as a litmus test?
Well, let me flip the question around a little bit. If you look at the court and see eight men and one woman on it, you might be sympathetic to Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's point of view that it just doesn't look right, that there's something wrong with a society which is 50-50 men and women, where we only have a single woman on the court. And there is a school of thought that diversity in the sense of bringing various viewpoints and various backgrounds to questions will result in better outcomes if more points of view are represented at the conferences where the justices discuss the cases.
Well, certainly in the background department, I'm looking at the New York Times right now. She brings an amazing, compelling story. I mean, okay, academically, summa cum laude from Princeton. She was 5 years as a prosecutor in the Manhattan District, but she grew up in the Bronx, diagnosed with diabetes at the age of 8. Her father was a factory worker. Her mother was a nurse at a methadone clinic. I mean, she really brings a sense of, you know, reality to the court that belies her academic credentials, don't you think, Adam?
It does strike you as a very nice combination, doesn't it? Someone who has real-world experience with the sorts of people that most of the justices, Clarence Thomas excepted, have never really gotten to know, and also first-rate academic credentials. Clarence Thomas also went to Yale Law School, as it happens.
Inspired, according to the New York Times, by the Perry Mason series she watched as a child. That's a good one. I hope she's asked about that at the confirmation hearings.
That's good. Yeah, we got to look into that.
I mean, if I can just play that theme again, I'll be happy. So is there a particular case that the confirmation hearing is going to focus on, do you think, or that the coverage is going to focus on?
Yeah, we have an unusual situation now where one of her cases is before the Supreme Court as we speak. It has not decided yet, but it seemed to indicate some hostility to her reasoning. The case involved a reverse discrimination employment claim by
the Ricci case.
By white firefighters in New Haven, and it's at least possible the Supreme Court will reverse her, and it's at least possible the Supreme Court will be critical in the weeks to come of someone whose nomination is pending.
This is the Ricci case, and as you
That's
say,
right.
If she's not going to be seated until next term, this could be decided this term, and she could be looking at this case as soon as she sits down.
It will be decided in June, but what we'll have is the current Supreme Court, you know, passing judgment on the work of a likely future member of the court, and judging from the argument, it's likely to be critical of her work.
All right. Well, Adam Liptak, Supreme Court correspondent for The New York Times, talking about the apparent nomination of Sonia Sotomayor, a judge in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, to be the replacement for David Souter.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.